Do you ever preach to yourself? David did. Learn more about that today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Today we're looking at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4, and a new study called What You Should Preach to Yourself. In this passage, David told himself something that you and I need to tell ourselves. Well, what did he say? Well, join me today and find out as we look together at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 103. You're probably already there. And you probably have been working on it this week. I trust and hope that you have, because I believe that this will just add to it. Lord willing, we can look at this, see its context, understand its meaning, understand what David is doing in this passage. And as we continue throughout the rest of the week, we can meditate on this passage and hopefully apply it. I think that there's some very practical truth that's found right here in Psalm 103. It's unfortunate that we're only going to look at the first five verses. I threw in the fifth verse because it's the completion of a thought. And so I just didn't think that we should stop at four. But I spent a lot of time here and just really trying to understand what David is doing here. So just to give you a setting, let me read the entire psalm. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Doesn't take very long to figure out that Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise. That's truly its theme. Because in this psalm, we actually see David praising God for the many mercies that unveil the compassion of God. John Calvin says of this psalm that the prophet, by stirring up himself to gratitude, gives by his own example a lesson to every man of the duty incumbent upon him. I believe that as you look at this passage, this entire psalm, yet alone the first five verses, you see a duty that you and I are to be involved in. In fact, as I've been studying this, what I keep seeing that is so clear is how important it is for us to talk to ourselves about the mercies and the loving kindness of God, about the blessing of God. We are creatures that forget. And we, as we get older, we forget more. But you know, as we memorize, we meditate on the Word, we're in the Word daily, we still have to tell ourselves the things of God. Now, I don't say to do that in the flesh, because we certainly want to do that by His Spirit.
But we want to be in the Word to such a point where we're putting in our heart the things that the Spirit will use. And He certainly uses His Word. That's how He leads us. We talk about being filled with the Spirit. We said it means to be controlled by the Word. You have to put the Word of God in there by which He can control you. And if you're like me, you had many years that needed to be reprogrammed. I find the longer that I walk with the Lord, the less I deny or doubt in any way His saving grace toward me. Because there are more truths that I learn. There are more truths that come in. And to say that I have no assurance of my salvation would be to deny those very truths. And here David is conferring here a benefit for all of us. In fact, I believe that we could probably close down many of those psychiatrist chairs just by the truth that's taught here. I mean, we say today that if you run around talking to yourself, we think, wow, he is nuts. In fact, you can drive down the road and you see people walking down the road and you think something's wrong with them. Or they are praying and they are talking to the Lord. And I like to talk out loud to the Lord. It's just something about praying silently. My mind is going too rapidly and it's too loud in there. So I like to let it come out and let me hear what my mouth is saying. And so I like to pray out loud. But as you do that, and as you see what David is doing right here, you find a practice that is so uncommon among many believers. David says there, to bless the Lord, O my soul. He is telling himself to bless the Lord. He is calling upon his soul to arise to praiseful gratitude for God's justifying, redeeming, and renewing grace. He's saying, soul, praise the Lord. He's saying, soul, do it with all that's within you. He's saying, soul, praise His holy name. And don't forget any of His benefits. Again, I find that if you're in the Word daily, you're less likely to forget. But if you're a hit-and-miss Christian, you're a hit-and-miss reader of Scripture, or you're a hit-and-miss studier of the Word, then you're going to hit less than you are or more than you should. And you're going to find yourself forgetting the promises of God. You're going to find yourself forgetting key portions of the Word of God that are your foundation, that are your strength. And then you have somebody that comes and talks to you about the Word of God, and guess what? You're stumbling. David says to himself to bless the Lord. Charles Spurgeon says that the psalmist strikes the best keynote when he begins with stirring up his inmost self to magnify the Lord. That is the best thing that you can do, is to tell your soul to magnify and to praise the Lord. So as we look at this tonight, we're going to hear something that is most joyful and most upbeat. In fact, when you examine Psalm 103, you can't help but to also look at Psalm 104. Because when you look at both of them, you see that they begin and end with the same expression. They both say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And they both end, bless the Lord, O my soul. But there is a difference between the two Psalms. Psalm 103 is filled with praise about God, and Psalm 104 is filled with praise to God. There's a difference. Psalm 103, he's telling himself all of these benefits, all of these things about God. Psalm 104, he's offering up praise to Him for them. So here in Psalm 103, David is talking to himself and he's calling himself to bless the Lord. So we could say then that Psalm 103 is a call to worship. You see, David is preaching about the benefits we have received from God. And when you consider this psalm carefully, you see what David calls for is truly spiritual. John 4:24 says that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And when we talk about worship, and we've said this many times, that worship is not about external things, forms and formulas, rites and rituals and ceremonies. It's about praising the Lord with every fiber of your being. Well, I want you to notice two important events that emerge in this psalm. The first one is this: David talks to himself. Now, that might not sound very profound, but I was reading in 1 Samuel 21 where he pretended to be insane before Achish, the king of Gath. And he's certainly not pretending to be insane here by talking to himself. He's completely sane, and first thing he tells himself is to bless the Lord. And that word that he uses for bless is the Hebrew word berak. It occurs 23 times in the Old Testament and 7 times in Psalm 103 and Psalm 104. It is actually a formal call to worship. Hold your place right there and turn with me over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. All the offerings have been brought to complete the temple of God. God told David that he could not build the temple, the house of the Lord, because he was a man of war. He had bloodshed on his hands. So his son would be the one who would build the house of the Lord. And it's just really profound when you look at some of the things that are found here in this passage. In verse 10, David blesses the Lord before all the congregation, and he says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." And there, that's a reference to the things that God had blessed him with that he contributed to the building of this magnificent temple. He gets down to verse 19, and he's praying for his son Solomon. And he's praying that he would have a loyal heart to keep the commandments of God and the testimonies and the statutes and to do all those things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. And now he calls the congregation. And look what he says in verse 20. "Then David said to all the congregation, 'Now bless the Lord your God.'" He calls them to worship. Look what else it says. "So all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. And they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day, and they made Solomon the son of David king the second time and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader and Zadok to be priest." David is calling for the people to bless the Lord. He's calling for the people to worship God. You know, that is the duty of every leader, to call the people to praise God. That's why you hear us pray all the time. It's not about us. It's not about anybody in this room. It's all about Him. And we want to continually point people to Him. I like what Swindoll says. The purpose of the pulpit is to preach the Word and then get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let Him put wings to it, to apply it to your heart. It is all about Him. And we've come together this evening to praise the Lord. Amen. We've come together to bless the Lord. Go with me over to Nehemiah and look in Nehemiah chapter 9. Something that we find taking place. The wall has been rebuilt. The people spent time as Ezra opened up the book of the law of God as he read to them and then gave the sense of it. And it says in chapter 9, in verse 1, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth and with dust on their heads, Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. Man, you can't get anybody to read it for 10 minutes in a day. He says, for another 1/4 they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then Jeshu, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherbiah, Bani, and Shani stood on the stairs of the Levites, and they cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbani, Sherbiah, Hijah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things on it, the sea and all that is in them, and you preserved them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found in his heart faithful before God and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. And it just goes on and on all throughout that chapter. What are they doing? Well, what did it start out in verse 5? Stand up and bless the Lord. Stand up and praise the Lord. You know what you have happening in churches today? People standing up and making up false claims about God, because they're so into all these supernatural gifts that they think they want to stand up and say something spiritual. In fact, when they try to do that, they just say something gibberish. There's nothing spiritual about gibberish. And especially if you don't have an interpreter. See, there was a gift of languages. There was also a gift of interpretation of those languages. And so, how can you really, truly worship the Lord? I love how all this brings focus and attention to the psalm that we're looking at, because David is doing the same thing. But yet he's telling himself to do this. He's rehearsing in his mind the things of God. See, when you think of blessing the Lord and you think of this call to worship, you must understand that it signifies adoration and gratitude to God. The word berak is derived from a word that speaks of kneeling. What do you think of when you think of kneeling? Psalm 95, come, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's worship. In fact, there is even an opposite meaning that's found here, depending on its context. The word can also mean to curse. The word can also mean to blaspheme. Debbie Devine says that the root of this word is found in other Semitic languages, which, like Hebrew, use most frequently with a deity as subject. So, we want to bless who? Bless God. We want to bless our Lord Jesus Christ. So David is telling his soul here to praise the Lord. And you might want to write that next to that meaning, to praise the Lord. D.A. Carson says, when the Lord blesses us, He reviews our needs and responds to them. When we bless the Lord, we review His excellencies and respond to them. But you know, think about it for just a minute. I mean, it's very obvious that our blessing God is not like Him blessing us. Right? See, there's no advantage or benefit that we can confer on Him. We can't add to His happiness, or we can't contribute to His inherent perfection in any way. We can't invoke the kind of blessing on God that He bestows on us. So when we bless God, it's different than when He blesses us. When He blesses us, He shows us favor. He meets our need. He imparts benefits to us. When we bless God, we do that by honoring His name, by speaking His praises, by blessing Him with our adoration. Turn with me over to Psalm 42. And you'll find that this is not the only place where you see this taking place. You see in Psalm 42, this psalm of Korah, from one of the sons of Korah. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me." Notice what he says. When I remember all this, I begin pouring out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And now he begins to talk to himself. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" You ever felt like that? You're bummed out. You're depressed. You're struggling. You don't feel like living. I mean, let's just be very personable about this. You don't feel like living. Why don't you start saying this? "Soul, why are you cast down? Soul, why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." Start telling yourself when you're down, "Hope in God." Then tell yourself, "For I shall yet praise Him with the help of His countenance." Hope in God. Over in Psalm 146, we see this occurring again. And it begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." And here is the psalmist purposing within his heart to praise the Lord. Have you ever just had in your day where you just started singing praises to the Lord? And you said, "Well, I can't sing." Doesn't matter. Sing. You're not trying to get a record deal. Sing. You're not auditioning for anybody. You're singing to the Lord. You know what it says? Over in Colossians chapter 3, that when you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to start singing. You're going to start praising Him. You're going to have a melody in your heart. So David tells himself to bless the Lord. Notice the second thing he tells himself to do. He tells himself to bless the Lord with all his heart. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." True praise cannot be half-hearted, or it's not praise at all. It involves the real person. Where do we hear that? Well, we hear that in Jesus' words in Matthew 22:37, where He said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. See, if you don't love Him that way, then you're giving Him a half-hearted worship, and He hates that. If you're not serving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not serving Him. In fact, He detests that. Even over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we're familiar with those words. It says, "Trust in the Lord," how? "With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths." You see, God wants the entire being. And David says there, "Soul, praise the Lord, and all that is within me." J. Vernon McGee, he says that we are told to praise and glorify the Lord. Yet, when I read this psalm, I recognize that the best that I can do just doesn't quite make it. You agree with that? I mean, you're giving it all you got, and you know what? It just falls short. He says, "My soul goes out to Him, but not like it should." My friend, I want to put up a warning signal. He says, there is a real danger today of going to church, observing the ritual, and parroting pious platitudes. This is the thing God warned His people about in Isaiah 29:13. He says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." He says it's nothing more than lip service. There's no submission to God's word and His demands. They just follow the precepts of men. He says we see this in Judaism and Romanism, and it's pretty easy for Protestants to point a finger at them and say, "Look how dead their religion is." He says, "My friend, how dead is your church and your personal worship? Oh, if only my praise could be pure and from the depths of my heart. That is what I long for and what we should all long for." There's a lot of chanting and ritualism today in church. It's easy to say that liberalism rejects all of the great truths of God's Word, but if we simply go to church and mouth these truths, it can also be said of us. "Men worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." This psalm says, "All that is within me bless His holy name." The flesh cannot do this. "I'm going to make a confession to you," he says. "I can't worship the Lord like I want to." He says, "Do you know why? This old flesh of mine can't rise to that level. It's only by the Holy Spirit that you and I can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth." I mean, isn't that what we've been saying? You can't do anything apart from the Spirit of God. You don't want to walk in the flesh. You don't want to live your life according to the flesh, because that's what you used to be. That's who you used to be. You want to live your life according to the Spirit. And it is by the Spirit that you put to death the deeds of the body. And it is by the Spirit that you're able to praise the Lord. See, God hates. He hates lukewarmness.
Do you hate lukewarmness? It is certainly a deadly sin that creeps into our life, and we have to turn from it. You've been listening today to a message taken from Psalm 103 called "What We Should Preach to Ourselves." It is essential that we preach the Word of God to our souls and remind ourselves of the Word of God and His promises. Well, this message is available on CD or by MP3. And to download it by MP3, just visit our website at www.changedbygrace.org. On our website, you can listen to many sermons that will help you in your Christian understanding as well as your Christian life. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. I want to thank you for visiting with us today. I do hope that you'll join again with us next time as we study together from God's Word. I am Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to invite you to Eastport Baptist Church this morning at 11 o'clock. We meet at 1322 Eastport Road in Ocean Way. If you'd like to know more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.eastportbaptist.org. Or you can call us at 904-757-7858. Eastport is a Reformed, family-integrated church, and we look forward to worshiping God with you.